Horror Podcast. This is your weekly podcast for movies, entertainment, things of that nature. And this is, well, when this comes out, it will be the end of October. And another thing that's also happening at the end of October is I am launching a new show. So, joining us for this special occasion is Hunter Davenport.
Yo. What's up?
Who is vigorously trying to break Connor's record of most guest spots.
I'm coming for you, Connor.
And joining me, as usual, is my co-host, Eric Sayor.
I like monsters, I think.
Very non-committal, but I like it.
We have a whole monthly podcast coming out dedicated to just that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's an education for anyone who is not monster enthused as is. So yeah, should be good.
Yeah.
I guess that's sort of, I guess we get the plug for that out of the way early, but like, yeah, Monster Mash coming out.
Halloween night.
Tuesday? Halloween night? Yeah. So listen to that. This is a tie-in, so if you schedule things right, you can listen to this and that one after the other.
Yeah.
And our preview episode, which will probably be coming out the same day as this. So do that. Have fun with that. And because we're doing a Monster Mash tie-in, we're going to talk about monsters, of course. And as fun as it might be to just talk about three monster movies, I figured let's do something a little bit different. So we're going to do lists. So yeah, should be fun. First time we're really doing this for something that's not like Oscar-y. So yeah.
We did do soundtracks.
Mm.
Which was fun.
That's
so
great.
Top fives are fun to do. And interesting to see who what everyone picks.
Yeah.
So we're doing horror monsters specifically.
Yes. Yeah. Or at least they should be creepy within the movie that they are in, I guess. That should, yeah. That's sort of where I put it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hunter, you're the guest. You want to start with your first
one? My first one is The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. It's based on a Ray Bradbury short story, and I've always really liked that movie a lot. He's not creepy per se, and this is kind of like where I'm leaning on this, because like, but he's kind of tragic in a sense, in that he's just confused. Like,
right.
Without spoiling anything, he's just a confused animal, like, essentially. But that movie is, like, I think that movie's fantastic. Like, I don't feel like it gets enough talked enough, really.
Yeah, the design is really cool. Like, Harryhausen, all his monsters are cool. Like, even though they are a little bit dated, like, you can see the heart, I guess, that went into them. Like, you can feel like, oh, there was some real thought put into this.
He was really passionate about kind of, like, what he did. He's not...
Mm-hmm.
I always look at, like, his movies as, like, this is a guy who really liked what he was making. Like...
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I just adore that movie a lot. Like...
I'll be honest, this one, it's one that's, I haven't seen all the way through, but it's on my list of ones that, like, I need to get to.
I've never heard about this movie. So.
Of course you haven't.
It's essentially, like, the way I always describe it to people is, like, it's America's answer to Godzilla, essentially.
Yeah. I think it might be a little bit before. I can't remember if it was before or after.
Yeah, I don't know the exact year.
Three, yeah.
Okay.
But this is like one of the first movies I saw, and I was like, I have to read what this is based off of, and I did, and like, it was great. Like, everything about this I really love. Like,
yeah, and for as a sort of a tie-in for a show that's very much about design, again, this design's great. Like, it does what I think the best Harryhausen designs do, which is there's a little bit of a sense of realism. Like, this is clearly a monitor lizard, at least in look. but there's this spin on it with the fangs and sort of the personality that this design has. So, yeah. Yeah. Mm. All right. That was a good pick, Hunter. Eric, do you want to go next?
Yeah, I'm going to pick a pair of movies I saw today for the first time. Not because of this podcast. I rented random horror stuff from the library and watched the 1958 The Blob for the first time this morning. Kind of liked it. But I think my plan was to watch the 88 one, but I got confused. So I did watch the 88 one too today, and that's the one that's my pick, the 88 The Blob, which is way more of a show every time you see it.
That's that movie is insanely violent, and I kind of love it. Like,
yeah, the effects are so good, still hold up super well. It's so, the arms get cut off and still moves. I think that monster manages by being like, take something that's now kind of dumb and not scary and make it truly horrifying.
This is another one that I actually haven't seen yet, but I've only heard good things about it. And I've seen, like, stills and stuff. Yeah. And, yeah, the design of the 80s Blob is just phenomenal.
Yeah, like, the 50s The Blob is all right. It's kind of boring.
Mm.
It's like another one of those, like, 50s B-movie sci-fi stuff.
Right.
It's been a while since I've seen it. Like, I do remember it being kind of like a product of its time, almost.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's been in the 1950s. Like,
and if you like the more horror-y parts of The Thing, like visual horror, that's what's a big inspiration, it feels like, for The Blob. And that critter design of, like, you see people inside it, like skeletons sometimes with like flesh still decaying. It's so creepy. It's, and I really like that monster.
Yeah, good pick. Solid pick. I guess we can sort of go to my next one, unless either you have final thoughts on it.
No, go ahead with your first. Yeah.
All right, my first. This is the only like true classic design that I allowed myself, which is the 1945 Wolfman.
It's such like, I don't know if I. Well, we didn't talk about it on the podcast, but like, I've always thought that like that design is so like so genius, and like I think they nailed it, and they were like, we can't do anything more different than this.
Yeah, it's like, it kind of became the design. Like, every werewolf after this one, up until American Werewolf and The Howling, it's a version of this.
Yeah.
They're all, like, some knockoff version of this. So
I think the part that I like the most about it is, like, how ape-like he looks. Because he's not...
Mm-hmm.
He feels like he's not just a wolf. Like, and it works really well. Like, it...
Yeah.
And Lon Chaney is definitely like amazing in that movie.
Yeah, his performance has a lot to do with it. Like he makes that makeup his own.
Yes,
he does so many like little tinges, and like there's like little facial tics that should be hidden under all that makeup, but they all come through in his performance. And yeah, he's vicious, and he it makes you forget that you're watching a very old, pretty dated movie.
Yes.
He sure but does. Yeah. Yeah. He really makes it work, I think.
I'm looking at pictures because I haven't seen it. I like the nose a lot. Yeah. I think it's a nice, like, wolf. Gives it, like, the wolf-like look that it needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, I don't know what else to say about this one other than, like, you should be watching this episode and looking at it at the same time, yeah. People listening, because, yeah, a lot of this stuff is very visual, and, yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. This is, he's one of my favorites. Hunter, what would your next one be?
This next one is from a movie that Connor actually had me watch, that, like, he sold me on this. It's that movie Late Phases.
Oh shit!
The werewolves in that movie are so like, well, they look like almost like rabbits, but they're creepy as all hell because they're just angry dog rabbit things that people and like the, in order to transform, like they tear their skin off. Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
It's really brutal the way that they transform. Like I think the. What I like about that design is, rather than going for something that looks aesthetically cool, like in a, you know, like with the long snout or something, you know, a little bit more. I'm trying to think of what to say this. Something a little bit more pleasant, almost. You know, like the howling design is very. It's very. It's easy to look at after a certain amount of time. It's still terrifying. This is like just like this ugly, sort of abomination. And I like that they go for ugly and not quite gorgeous in any way.
Yeah, I just really appreciate ugliness when they do this, because it's like, you don't see a lot of ugly movie monsters. Like, you see movie ugly, is what I like to call it. Like, you don't really see, like, truly terrifying things.
Yeah.
It's always, like, kind of dolled up and, like, I'm sure people will disagree with me when I say that, but like I rarely ever come across something as ugly as those werewolves are, and it really works really well.
Yeah, and I think another thing I like is, again, so as I said before, the Wolfman was kind of the design up until the Howling and American Werewolf. After that, those two became the design. And if you watch any werewolf movie just randomly, it's going to be one of those two. Most likely the Howling design. So I like that they went with something that's similar but still a little bit different. Because, yeah, like, there are so many weird details, like the way that their ribs look, and they're all, like, very exposed, and, yeah, like, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's really good. I adore that.
Yeah. Also, you can still kind of see the human part in there, which is another thing that I enjoy. They aren't totally monster all the way, so yeah. All right, Eric, yeah. What's your next pick?
My next monster is not one that's like the main staple of the movie. It's only in there are a few minutes, but it's like probably the most memorable like single thing in that movie, and it's the bear from Annihilation.
Oh god.
Oh, okay. You mean so I have to take one of my other picks off because
that movie like decidedly not a monster movie in my opinion until that bear shows up.
It's a very like it starts very like unsettling but never quite ever reaches again the level of terrifying that creature is. It's like it half roars, half has the voice.
Yeah,
of the girl. It's a nightmare. Like it's the worst imagined creature I've ever seen in a film. I think.
It's just like, and it's not the first design I've seen like that, but like, Because when I first saw it, I was like, oh, it's the bear from this old movie called Prophecy. But then they add that thing with the voice. And, like, when you look at the model that they did of it in bright light, you see all these other little details. Like the fact that there's another face growing out of the bear face. It's just all so, like, gruesome. And it's, again, it's so well designed, but they hide it with the shadows. And it still works. It's still creepy as fuck. But yeah, and again, that voice, I mean, it's a joke on the Phantom Zone now, but where we will just randomly say to each other, help me.
It's like everything about the bear is just like so well done and creepy and like almost to the point of where I almost feel like the movie could have just been about that bear and I think it would be a better movie. Yeah. I don't hate that movie, what I mean is I really just want the whole movie to be about the bear.
Right. I think if that movie were more interested in being a monster movie, that bear would have been the main focus, in the same way that I think the alligator would have been a bigger focus.
Yeah.
But that movie is not really about that, so I'm kind of like able to forgive it. But I do think that other movie. Where those two things are the focus, that would also be an interesting film as well, I think.
I think a thing that manages to really make the bear work for me is like how they managed to give him like real weight, mm-hmm. which doesn't really happen in like in CGI stuff. Yeah. It tends to be the problem in CGI stuff. But the movie and the performances of the characters in the scene like make it feel really there, in that you're never doubting that they're right. that fucking bear is terrifying to them too.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
A lot of the shadows, like you mentioned the shadows, but a lot of that helps too, because like, mm-hmm. you don't, like you said, you don't see it all the time, but also that kind of like let my mind wander to a point where I was like, I'm uncomfortable with everything that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also, and this is the thing, this is another thing I really like about Annihilation, is the animals in that movie, they never stop feeling like real animals. That bear is just like the beast from 20,000 Fathoms. That bear is just an animal. It's just it's a life form. It exists, and it's doing kind of what bears do, but based on, you know, as altered by the rules of that movie. And that's the other thing that also makes the alligator also equally is just like unnerving, is that they are both clearly animals doing animal things, and they're just in this really bad situation that has made them far more lethal than they even know.
Yeah, like I always like kind of I don't think monsters, like, I don't think misunderstood monsters is really a thing, in my opinion. But it's like, these are just, like, tragic, tragic animals that happen to be horrifying. And it's, like, 10 times more effective than a lot of the things I've seen in the past, like, couple of years.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like, that design, it's just killer. I really love it. Yeah, good pick. So one less pick for me, though, but that's fine, because I cheated later on, so that's it all works out.
I think I might have cheated later than you, but whatever.
Yeah. Alright, my next pick, this one, it might be controversial, I don't know, just because I feel like we've had a lot of this kind of monster lately, and it's the Gillman from Monster Squad.
Okay.
That is my next pick.
All right, that's a good pick.
Yeah, yeah. I knew you'd like it.
That's true. I actually had never seen that movie until recently, which is, like, weird when I tell people that. Like,
right.
But, man, he's so good in that movie.
Like, really, he's really good.
I really love that, the Gillman in that movie.
And it's such a good redesign. And that movie's full of a lot of pretty strong redesigns, but that one, I don't know, like, it just, I feel like that's the way the Gillman should be. I think the original Gillman, it loses something with those, like, big lips that just, like, aren't intimidating at all.
Yeah.
And there's something just, there's something complete about that later Gill Man. So yeah.
He's like more fish-like, which I really love. Like, he's not...
Yeah.
He's like, Gilman in Black Lagoon is, like, he's a good design, but, like, I don't always get the sense that he's, like... I've always thought he was, like, a more merman than he was a fish.
Right.
And, like, this one works really well. Actually kind of horrifying, like...
Yeah.
And they use that in Monster Squad, which is, like, amazing to me. Like...
Yeah.
Let's make scare the shit out of everyone, but like make it funny. Like,
yeah, yeah. He's really, there are moments in that movie where he is actually genuinely scary, and he's not even in the water that much. That's the thing. Like, he's just kind of like walking around.
It's just like, to me, in a movie where like it's very clearly classic Dracula and Wolfman and the Mummy,
right?
It's like, yeah. And then they do this, and it's like, ooh, this is really interesting looking, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because, like, even their Wolfman, for the time, their Wolfman is a throwback, although he does have he has more wolf-like ears and and more of a pronounced snout, but, like, he's still kind of old school for that movie, at least.
Yeah. He's not what we know werewolves be now, but he's like, mm-hmm. definitely like, I believe he also has a Letterman jacket for most of the movie. So like,
he does.
Very classical.
He's what, I'm just looking at pictures. He's what I wish the fish monster from The Shape of Water looked like.
It would, because she's not falling in love with this kind of human-ish face.
Yeah, because, you know, the fishman from Ship of Water is, like, the most vanilla monster.
Yeah.
I wish he was more like that.
Abe Sapien in that movie. Like, he's like...
Yeah.
Which isn't, like, I don't think that's really a bad thing, but, like, it definitely, like, makes... Like, if this is the design they went with, it would make things 10 times weirder.
Yeah. And I mean, a problem I've had with that design is, like, I'm not... When I think of it in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm thinking of Abe. I'm not thinking of that design, because they're kind of the exact same
thing. Yeah.
So,
Guillermo del Toro just lifted the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I
do like that the Gilman has, like, abs and pecs.
Yeah, I like that as well. It's
all the swimming he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he hits the gym also. That's important when you're a fisherman.
Yeah. He has that luck.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're good on Gilman. I'm glad that this seems to have gone over well. So, yeah. Hunter, what would your next pick be?
Next one is the Gremlins from Gremlins. Because, like, especially in, like, Gremlin 1, I don't know, they didn't really change much in Gremlin 2 except, like, add more varieties.
Right.
Those things scared the shit out of me as a kid. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
They're so, like, I can't put my finger on what exactly it is, but there's something about their eyes and their face that's just, like, I want nothing to do with this. Like,
yeah, I think Gremlins is interesting because they kind of have a, and this connection, I've never made this before, but they're kind of like the Xenomorph in a weird way, other than the whole cocoon thing, but like, they're kind of like a version of a human in their design,
yeah,
but like corrupted, and I think that it's terrifying in the same way that the Xenomorph is terrifying.
It's like, what is that movie where, like, there's the gremlins, like, in the wall, or, like, the, like, little, like, nymph things in the wall? They're, like, fairies or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Fucking Alone in the Dark or something like that?
They're, like, a larger version of that, and it's horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just... Yeah. And everything about them, the way that they... I think the sound plays a big part in it. Their growls and their vocalizations are just... Yeah. Yeah, and like, they're very unnerving.
They kind of lose that in Gremlins 2. And I'm not disparaging Gremlins 2. Like, Gremlins 2 is like one of my favorite movies of all time. But like,
right,
they're just like, they're the way they talk and kind of just like that, the humanness about them is very unsettling.
Yeah, yeah, like as funny as it is, the scene in the theater, that's a little bit scary at the same time. Yeah. Because they are so human.
Yeah, no, that's the best part, is like when they're drinking and smoking and just watching a movie, it gives them like personality, or like almost sentience.
Mm-hmm. They're kind of like,
yeah,
they're kind of like the worms from Men in Black.
They do have a similar thing going on where it's like,
yeah,
they're just a little bit creepy. Yeah.
But yeah, that they've always scared the shit out of me. Like, when I bring that to people, like, not everyone agrees with me. I'm like, but have you, like, looked at them, though? Like, they're horrifying.
Yeah, I mean, this was, like, a year ago, but, like, when me and Eric watched it for the show, like, the scene with the mom and the cookies and all that, like, that scene, I think that scene still really worked on me. Yeah, and it just... The gremlins, they manage to be very scary in moments, especially when they're hiding. I think that's the other thing. Yeah. It's like they can hide in a cupboard, behind a blender.
And the outfit, they have the element of surprise. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not great.
Mm-hmm. Open up a cabinet. Rah! Not fun. Yeah. Okay, that was a really good pick. I think. Eric, yeah. Did you want to go to your next pick, or do you have any sort of other thoughts on?
No, I think I just really like watching them do stuff.
Yeah,
that's like my favorite part about the Gremlins.
That movie, mm-hmm. Both of those movies.
Stripe on a scooter.
Yes.
Oh, that's the other thing, when they're multiplying, like. Just like the bubbles and the.
Not a fan of that.
It's really wrong. It's really gross, but it's just. It's. Yeah. Anyways.
My next pick is one that has no visual design because it takes other forms, and it's It from It Follows.
Ooh. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I have actually. I've never seen that movie, but I have.
Oh,
it's one of those rare things where like I see a trailer, I'm like, I should see that, and I never go see it. But I do know that like it's like this faceless, like weird thing that's just in the background.
It takes any face basically. Like it looks like any random. Person, like it can be someone you know, someone you don't know, and it just walks towards you always at the same speed, and you're the only one that can see it.
Right, and it's only when you get really, really close that you wouldn't know it's a different person.
Yeah.
Like you have to be like a couple feet away, and at those moments, it does become a little bit creepier. Like the eyes become more sunken in, and it like growls and makes weird noises. But yeah, like that's a good pick though, because the way that movie uses just people's natural features to be scary and just movement, and like how people carry themselves.
Like
good pick.
It's basically the idea of something basically unstoppable, is like, It's stopped by physical object, but only for a second. It always finds a way. I just the idea of it following, and how it traumatizes the character. Like my horror, really my favorite part of like horror, like this, the kind that's supposed to really scare you. The one that works on me is the one where. It's like one character that's always truly terrified and them going more and more insane. That's the thing that just stays with me. And I think that movie does that so well with its main character.
Mm-hmm.
That'll never escape it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good, strong pick. I agree with all your points. That movie just really it uses trauma in a very interesting way. Strong pick. Hunter, watch that movie. I think you'll really like it. Let's see. I think I will go with my cheat pick next, just because. So for this one, I picked two movies technically, because the monsters were so similar, and I want to talk about both of them. and they are The Vampires from Dusk Till Dawn, and Gary Oldman as Dracula from Dracula. So, yeah.
Like, Dusk Till Dawn is like a fantastic movie, and so is Gary Oldman's Dracula. Like, my thing with like the Dusk Till Dawn vampires have always been is like they're almost too human. You know what I mean? Like, they're not.
Yeah.
They don't feel like monsters per se, but like they are monsters. Well, it's like there's something like about the fact that they can just like blend in so well.
Right.
Like that. That it just like it just makes them so much more creepier to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the fact that they can go from like very normal looking people to these like fucking very strange monster designs. That's something that I always rather enjoyed. And another thing I like about them is that they don't all look the same. Like, there's like a default mode that they all have, but like one of them gets his head cut off and then he like grows a second head and he turns into like a giant bat. In like this very gruesome fashion, like they aren't all the same. That's I guess that's what makes them most interesting to me, is that they aren't like a uniform monster.
They're the scariest a vampire can look. I feel like that he can still feel like something that was human or could be human. I really like that. That style. It reminds me a lot of the Dresden Files vampire, the series of books, not the TV show, but like that's where in the series there's like multiple kinds of vampires, but one is like, oh, it's a human husk, but inside it's like a creature that's on all four, that's basically that walks on all four and that has like acid instead of saliva and all that, and will just destroy you physically, which is more or less that vampire that I, which,
yeah,
it's like a half demon, half vampire.
They look very like, I'm looking at them right now. They always like, they look very reptilian too. Like, they're not.
They do some interesting things with them. Like, They go different directions with them. Like, I would never have thought snake for a vampire, but that's a place that they go.
Well, if you think about like vampire, like classical vampire designs, especially like the original, like Dracula, like he's got a very like snake like face. Like, there's stuff to draw from, and it's just like, it's interesting that they picked that up and were like, let's explore this for a little bit. Like, let's see what this.
And again, the shape-shifting thing, that's something that makes them distinct from other vampires for me, because I think vampire design tends to be kind of boring. Because it's just a dude, and occasionally they grow fangs. You know, every once in a while, Game of Toro comes around, he's like, come in and give them a giant tongue.
They'll have vaginas.
Far and few. Yeah, they'll have vaginas in their chest. And then when you cut them open, another vagina will be there. Occasionally somebody does something really interesting that I haven't seen before, like this movie. Or, again, I throw in Gary Oldman's Dracula, because I don't know if the rules... I don't think that they don't line up. I think that they could easily be sort of in the same universe.
Kind of.
Perhaps. Yeah, because he also does this sort of shape-shifting thing. But he also has that sense of, like, he's not really a physical being. He's something else. He's something beyond. He's got beyond.
Cool armor.
Yeah, yeah, and that, yeah, that armor's really fucking cool as well. But yeah, like, he turns into, like, a fucking wolfman and a bat creature and fucking, yeah. And he turns into green mist at one point, which is really cool.
Like Gary Oldman's, Gary Oldman's, like, in that movie, he also looks fucking strange for, like, most of that movie. Yep. Like, it's such a yep. weird design, but it's so effective.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, like,
he's just some weirdo. Like,
mm-hmm.
and it's like,
even as a dude, just like as a man walking around London, like, that hair and yeah, just everything about it. Yeah, and then also it's helped by his acting ability, and some of the monologues they give him are just amazing. So
he's Gary Oldman. Just let him talk for a little bit, I guess, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, he nails it. And again, like, even the vampires that get turned, the I think it's Lucy when she gets turned and she's like vomiting up blood. yeah, and just like the way that even just like subservient vampires look, it's just very creepy. And there, and it even goes into like their movements, which is something that I think really makes that movie hold up.
It's like, it's a very good movie. Like, it, the design is like so out there from like what the original Dracula design was, and it works really well.
Yeah. And then he gives it, those hair buns are another thing that's like, that's worth mentioning.
He looks like a little Mickey character almost, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, kind of. Okay, yeah. But yeah, those are my vampire picks, because, yeah, and I forgot Blade 2 existed, otherwise that would have been on here, but...
I wish I had a vampire pick. I was looking for one, but all my favorite vampires are like existentialist vampire, not like scary vampires.
I've always preferred the goofy design, to be honest, because like there's something about it that just like,
that's fair,
makes me really happy.
I mean like, I really like the Nosferatu design, but I don't like any of the movies that use the Nosferatu design, yeah, except for What We Do in the Shadows. So, like,
Nosferatu, like, I don't know, just go off, like, a small tangent. Like, if you ever seen that movie nowadays, it's fucking terrifying. Like, it's horrifying. And, like, that design is so strong, it just does not work in any other movie. Except maybe What We Do in the Shadows, like you said.
Yeah, like... That's why I'm really excited for the guy who did The Witch to do Nosferatu, because, yeah, like...
I'm into that a lot.
That's going to work so well, and he doesn't need to do much. Like, he just... Oh. He doesn't need to change anything, really. But his aesthetic will... I think it will add something. Okay. Let's see. Hunter, I believe you're next.
Okay. The Crooked Man from Conjuring 2, because...
Oh shit!
It's the coolest shit ever. Like,
I feel like this one is your cheat, or am I wrong? Because I don't know if I'd count that as a monster, but I'm gonna allow it because it's such a cool design.
Like, he's so he's kind of a demon. Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah. Isn't he like a construct of Valak? Like,
yes, he is. He's a but that's the thing. I don't necessarily count demons as monsters.
Okay, yeah,
unless they are summoned here in a physical form, like when they're possessing somebody or they're just like moving shit with their mind, you know what I mean? But like when they're forced to be here, like walking among us, then I consider them monsters. But yeah, I will allow it for this for the purposes of this list.
But he's just like, everything about him is just like so visually interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he's Javier Botet, right? Like, he's like,
yeah,
just this skinny dude who like crawls and like
walks and like can do all sorts of weird shit. And then you find out, and then you see the movie, and then find out later, yeah, that's a real person.
Yep. It's just a dude in a suit for a lot of it. Some of it's CG, but other stuff, it's just a dude, like, making these very weird movements. And Javier Botet, if you don't know who he is, he's been in a bunch of stuff. He was in Alien Covenant, although I'm still convinced a lot of his stuff got cut out. He was in Slender Man, R.I.P.
Oh man, never gonna recover from that one.
But he was also in Mama, and if you just look up like special effects reels of Mama, that design is so creepy.
Yes.
So yeah, and this is a very similar. This is almost akin to that design in the way that it uses Javier Botet's natural form to just be incredibly creepy.
He's meant to scare the shit out of some kids, and it's like, It's so effective in the way that Velik does it. Like,
yeah,
he just like,
and that's the thing.
Fuel, fuck you.
Yeah, and he's only in the movie for 5 minutes, but like, he's a good pick. He's a really good pick, and all the little choices, like the fact that he has a hat on, but he has glasses on over the hat.
Yeah.
rather than eyes, it's just
he's fucking creepy. Like,
yeah. Yeah, like, honestly, this is a better design than Slender Man. Like,
yeah.
More thought went into it.
It's almost like Slender Man's not that great, man.
It's
kind of dumb.
Also, I do wonder, I thought the Crooked Man was invented for the movie, but, like, he's in The Wolf Among Us, R.I.P.
He's in Hellboy. He's in the comics.
Yeah, he's in a bunch of stuff. I didn't know, I guess this is like a very British monster, but like he's cool, and I like the way that they use him in that film. So yeah, yeah, good pick. I think we're on to Eric's pick. Unless
yeah,
there's anything else to say.
My next pick is one. Maybe I'll just be brief because I want to bring it to your show. It's the Djinn from Under the Shadow.
Ooh, okay.
So, do you know what Under the Shadow is, Hunter? I know Arlen's watched it.
No, but I'm interested in finding out.
Okay, Under the Shadow is basically like Iranian Babadook.
Oh, okay. That sounds cool. I'm into that.
That's the best way to describe it easily. The djinn is basically just a drape over an empty form with like a blacked out face which haunts this mother and her kid after it's happening during the war, and a missile fell in their house but didn't explode, and it brought with it the djinn. And the creature itself isn't the terrifying part. Is again about how it's haunting this mother. She sees it in her dreams. It's all around her. It does that. It takes the form of even her child at some point.
Oh, right. I wasn't sure if I was remembering if it took her child or somebody else. But
I'm looking at it right now, and like, the way it looks, like, I don't know how it looks in motion, but like, it's like very unsettling the way that it doesn't have a face.
It's like if a Journey was the creepiest Journey could be.
Yeah.
It moves kind of like that, like with fluid motions, and it's like a drape, so it's not like physically imposing. Physically strong and never like pushes her. At some point, she's the most physical scene of the film is like where she's the drape takes over a whole floor and she's under it. It's just like being under a huge blanket, but it's that blanket has your kid.
Oh wow! Okay, that's kind of scary. All right,
yeah.
I'm actually really into this. This is cool.
The reason I like this movie the most, it's because it's like in the same way the Babadook is about grief, this is about war and how war always haunts you. It always follows you wherever you go, if you've mm-hmm. grown into it. And it's very much about like Iran, because it takes place, like I said, during the Iran-Iraq War, and it's I think about that gym a lot and how it's always just there and always a presence, and it always has something on you. Yeah, I really like that creature, even though the design itself is never scary, even though it is. It's
simple. Yeah. Though. It's very simple and very there's something universal about it that I think makes it incredibly creepy.
Is that actually when you say drape, is that actually a drape or is it
I don't remember. I thought it was just a sheet, but I might be
misremembering. I don't know anything about garb over in Iran, but the pattern on it kind of makes it a little creepier for me because it's so simple. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it is. It's very. It feels like something someone would just wear, you know, or something that you'd have in on the floor in your room in your house.
Yeah, super effective. Very good pick, I would say. I'm allowing it under the same idea as the Crooked Man, because it is just such an effective monster, and it's a monster. I'm willing to say that. Yeah.
I don't know, the djinn is like something from that region's mythology. Like it, mm-hmm.
It's not something you see a lot.
Yeah.
I like it. Good. Yeah, good pick. I think this is the final. No, that's right. Because
that's your fourth.
Eric is my bear, so this is my last one, and then you guys will have some. Mine is Samael from Hellboy, because I just love that design.
Like I've always thought that design is the most subtly interesting thing to look at, because mm-hmm. at first glance you're like, okay, it's like a dog monster, and then you look at it and it's got runes on it and all sorts of cool shit, and you're like, oh, there's more to this.
Yeah, and we brought it up on the episode that will be coming out, but his runes match Hellboy's runes, which is just something that I've always loved. The sort of the connection between the two of them. There's so many things going on. That skull design, which is actually kind of reminiscent of the bear, and he has tentacles, and some parts of him he's scaly, other parts he's got human muscles going on, and there's just so much there to pick apart and look at.
And he's very much he's a demon. He's he feels he's almost half demon, half animal.
Yeah.
And it works really well. It's not mm-hmm. it's not your classic demon design. It's it feels hell, whatever hell is in Hellboy universe, we never really saw it. It's whatever it is has feels like it has an ecosystem and all this sorts of it feels like it could be just be another version of Earth.
It works with sort of the Lovecraftian thing that they're going for with that movie. He fits that aesthetic very well.
It just works so well within that movie that it's such a good cool thing to look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's special because there's kind of a version of him in the comics, kind of not. But in the comics he's basically a giant frog.
Yeah.
There's a level of inventiveness in this design that I really like. And again, he's not exactly, both sides of him don't match also. That's another thing I really like. Like, he has one hand with this finger that's just the size of his arm, or his, like, what is it, his wrist or whatever. Yeah, like, there's just so many little tidbits in there that I really like.
He looks awesome. Like, I've always really admired Guillermo del Toro's, like, kind of way he approaches these things, because, like, you watch, like, Pacific Rim, for example, and it's like, mm-hmm. They're good. There are some good, like, kaiju designs in the first one, at least. I don't really remember most of the kaiju designs in the second one, but he's such a fanboy when it comes to the stuff that it really shows.
Yeah, yeah. You can feel the passion in it. So yeah, that's my final pick, I guess. Yeah. Hunter, I believe you're next.
So my number one pick is Shin Godzilla, because
I don't
feel like people talk about Shin Godzilla as much as they should. Mm-hmm. The movie is fantastic. Not only that, and that design is, like, to me, it's brilliant.
Yeah,
because it's like,
I don't. Yeah, yeah.
The way he combines the I always forget his name. Anno combines kind of like human form and like lizard and weird amphibian stuff.
Yeah, and like even like that's the even though we've talked about this before, for like canon reasons and like my feelings about Godzilla, for those reasons I don't like it as much, but like just as a pure monster design, like there's something very alien about it. And again, I'll make comparisons to the Xenomorph. Like, there's something almost like a parasite. Like, it doesn't feel like a reptile, almost. It feels like something that you would find at the bottom of the ocean, which works really well when you're talking about Godzilla.
Yeah.
Like, it's just... Yeah, it's so outside real animals. real creatures that I really... dig that.
It's the first time, like, I remember, like, first seeing it, and I was like, what the fuck am I looking at? Like,
mm-hmm.
And the way he, like, especially in his larval form, the way he moves, it's so fucking...
Yeah.
It's so subtle, but, like, he's beyond creepy. Like, he's not scary, he's creepy, which, like, makes it worse.
Yeah, and he's animal, but again, like, it's no animal that you've ever seen. Yeah.
It's almost Lovecraftian, like, where you can't process it the first time you see it.
Yeah, yeah. And especially very early on, you're like, how does that turn into Godzilla? Like, you can see the bits and pieces, but, like, you don't... You're not like, oh, I know how that thing becomes that thing. Until you see the final version of it, you're like, okay, I can see the progression there. But yeah, like, even like the way that his mouth opens, kind of like the Reapers from Blade 2, to like release more toxic sludge or whatever. Like, yeah.
And then, not to spoil it, but like at the end, like, you see that he can like multiply.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, he, again, like, he's kind of like Stripe from Gremlins. Like, he's actually more akin to the Gremlins than anything that we've talked about so far.
I've never thought about that before. Like, he's kind of really close to that. Like, he's mm-hmm. He's like this fucked up Gremlin, like,
Yeah, that just, like, he just changes into whatever he needs to. And that's the thing that I do like about it. It's like, I need to be able to breathe on land. Well, I'm just gonna shoot a bunch of shit out my lungs, go to sleep, and boom, I can breathe on land now. Yeah, like, he just changes. And I like the way that they don't have him, like, turn into a giant cocoon at any point. Like, he just, like, slowly, like, changes. Like, things, like, fall off, and things shift, and his skin, like, slowly starts to mutate. But in ways that feel as real as that can feel, I guess. So yeah. Yeah, it's very creepy.
It works very well.
Alright, I think Eric, your pick. pick now.
Yeah, I have nothing to say about the last two ones because I haven't. But yeah, my life.
Oh, wait, I thought you had seen it. Never mind.
No, I haven't seen Shin Godzilla yet.
Oh, you should.
I think you'd actually really like that, Eric. Honestly, yeah.
You know, it sounds really good. I really need to get onto it. My last pick is very recent, and it's Venom from Venom. No, that's a joke.
Fair enough.
I will be looking for a new podcast co-host. Hey, Hunter, would you...
No, that's not. No, it's actually very recent. It's the alien from A Quiet Place.
Oh.
I just really love that design. From when you first see it, just walk on this... It's like long legs to its face and how it opens its mouth. It feels so alien, actually.
I did really enjoy that monster because before getting a full look at it, I was like, this is kind of like that J.J. Abrams school of design, which I kind of got bored of after a certain point, but like I don't know, they make it work in that movie really well.
I always saw, I've always really liked the way their mouths open. It reminds me a lot of like mushrooms, and that makes it worse for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like, it's bad enough that you can't make a sound, but like when you see them, they're kind of like these mushroom aliens that are like, oh, they have no eyes.
Yeah. I like the idea that their entire head is basically an ear.
Yeah.
Like they're just like a giant nerve, a giant organ, which I feel like that makes more sense than, again, any of those Abrams monsters, because they all have like weird choices like that, but they never quite make sense. Like, why does the Demogorgon need a... a tongue and all those teeth? That doesn't really make sense if it's just gonna swallow them. Yeah, because it looks creeps. But this, I don't know, this design, there's a logic to it, but there's also a sense of like, this looks cool.
It really does, and it's really nice. Always cool to see like walk around and creep around I listening to what's his name? John Krasinski talked about like how he initially designed it and how like I think it was ILM actually that worked with him on it to give the final designs, and how it's designed like that because it grew up we're on a place with no light, with a very harsh environment that is why its skin is so hard, and why it walks like that. It made me rethink it because I really liked them in the movie. Then rewatching the movie with the knowledge of just focusing on that creature makes it just one of my favorite things to watch.
Yeah,
it's like they're giant ears. Like they're it's so simple and like kind of like. And it's also terrifying,
you can't imagine like one of those exterminating a city by itself.
Right. Yeah, you definitely can. Like there's a weight to them, like in the way that they move and how quickly they seem to navigate the environment.
And I like how the movie uses them. Like they don't keep them. You see it 5 minutes in, snatching the kid for like a brief couple of seconds, and then you know how dangerous they can be, and after that, it makes the whole thing more terrifying, because you know how one of them just could wreck every character.
Yeah. You definitely get the idea of like... That's the thing for me with any movie where the idea is like these monsters have taken over, and I'm always like, but we have tanks
it's the rain of fire problem,
right? And we have drones, but like these monsters are the kinds of they're designed so well. I'm like, I can see how we didn't do well against these. I can I can see how these overwhelmed us. So yeah, definitely. Good pick. Very good pick, I think. All right, I think that's the end.
Do you guys have any honorable mention stuff?
Oh, I mean, well, as I said, I thought of it while we were doing it. Blade 2, the Reapers, personal favorite design of mine. They're
pretty, like, I've always, like, man, it's hard to contain my thoughts on them because I think they're hilarious looking, but they're also, like, the best thing I've ever seen, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're so cool. But
yeah,
I've always thought those were really cool. I'm trying to think of, like, I've always really liked, like, going back to Godzilla. I've always liked King Caesar's design. King Kaiser, sorry. He's always been, like, I just really like he's, like, a giant kung fu lion dog. There's something about that. Really.
Yeah. He's really good. Another pick of mine would be the Ritual also, just to throw that out.
That one.
That forest deer thing, whatever. Eric?
It's not a horror movie, but it's definitely, like, really scary. It's the giant from Jason and the Argonauts. It's like a giant metal man that moves very slowly, but it's basically unstoppable because it's a giant metal man, and all those dudes have are, like, swords. And it's stop motion, so there's never any physicality in its contact, but it's still, like,
right.
The way it moves is so unnatural and very spooky, very scary.
Yeah, that's a really good one. And it has that, again, we talked about this, that Harryhausen thing where, like, there's a personality behind that big metal boy.
That big boy. That big boy.
Hunter, did you have any others that come to mind?
Really, like...
All right.
All my, like... Oh, Muto. I'll throw Muto in there because always they're cool looking. Like,
yeah, I always appreciated that the Muto were, like, they're kind of an assembly of everything. They're good first Godzilla monsters.
Yeah,
I've always said
they fit right in. Like, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like, oh, well, this American monster they put in this fucking movie. Like, it's like, oh, right. I could see this Muto returning again, like a Japanese movie.
Yeah, I could see this Muto returning and then turning into another monster also. Like Muto gets brought back and it's the fucking dude with the fucking laser vision or whatever. Like, yeah, you could see that. Good. All right, I think that's a full show that we did there. If you didn't like this, please tell us.
If you didn't like this, I guess you can unsubscribe. don't unsubscribe. I'm sorry. Don't do that.
If you really didn't like this, tell us how we can improve, I guess. I don't know. Like,
Or you can just go fuck yourself.
That's the other thing. You can just go do that or walk off a cliff or any number of other things. Plugs, I guess. That's what we would do now, usually. Hunter.
Sorry, I was just thinking about what I wanted to plug. go check out Monster Mash coming out, Halloween night. I don't remember what the first episode will be. Is it Aliens?
Yes, it's Aliens with...
With Eric. So go check that out. Go check out the Phantom Zone. That's me and Arlen's and a couple other guys' podcasts that we do. Constantly ends in the most... Okay, I'm sorry for whatever Eric says. I'm really sorry.
Other Eric,
yes. You can't control other Eric. He's a monster. That's really it for me. Don't follow me anywhere. I'll know it's you.
You took my plugs, but we got to vamp for a little while because something happened to Something happened with Eric's thing. But like Connor said, Phantom Zone show gets crazy. Multiple shows a week. We just talked about Mandy. So, go listen to that.
Eric's internet just died. Woo!
Great. Well, go follow Isayor on Twitter.
Go follow Eric on Twitter. Eric's a cool dude.
Yep.
So cool stuff. Yep. Movie.
He's not here, so we could say things about him if we wanted, but there's nothing to say.
Not going to.
Yeah, we could be.
I don't really have anything bad to say about him anyway. So
we wouldn't know how to.
Yeah,
we would have to make things up. So
we would have to make objective lies.
Yep.
So, but I'm not a liar. Yep. So.
Yep. Neither of us. We don't know what that word means. So the first time I'm saying goodbye on the show without him, so this is throwing me off a little bit. Bye.
I have an 8-foot vertical.
Roland Emmerich.
I have an 8-foot vertical leap. You can't prove me long.
Fuck Roland Emmerich. Hey guys, if you're listening to this, you just listened to our Monster Movies list episode. Wasn't it great? But Eric and me are here to tell you that we are going to be taking like a month off right before season two.
Yeah. We decided to split the show in seasons and try to take some time maybe to bank a few episodes, try to make the show better for the next year. And if you don't see a show, you won't see a show in the next month, probably, unless some weird news happens and we decide to do like a newsy thing.
But, which might happen.
Which might happen. But otherwise, just expect, just be excited for our next season of the show.
Right, yeah. And I mean, with the time we'll have, we're probably going to have Eric on Phantom Zone again at some point, so you might see him there. You never know. That's been us saying see you later. Bye!
Buckle and Emmerich.